وقل رب زدني علما.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومواله. أما بعد, we continue إن شاء الله the class lesson we taken from منظومة القواعد الفقهية للشيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. قال المؤلف رحمه, قال الناظم رحمه الله: ومن أتى بما عليه من عمل قد استحق ما له على العمل, ويفعل البعض من المأمور إن شق فعل سائر المأمور, وكلما نشا عن المأذون فذاك أمر ليس بالمضمون, وكل حكم دائر مع علته وهي التي قد أوجبت لشرعته, وكل شرط لازم للعاقد في البيع والنكاح والمقاصد إلا شروطا حللت محرما أو عكسه فباطلات فاعلما. تستعمل القرعة عند المبهم من الحقوق أو لدى التزاحم, وإن تساوى العملان اجتمعا وفعل أحدهما فاستمعا, كل مشغول فلا يشغل مثاله المرهون والمسبل, ومن يؤدي عن أخيه واجبا له الرجوع إن نوى يطالبا, والوازع الطبعي عن العصيان كالوازع الشرعي بلا نكران, والحمد لله على التمام في البدء والختام والدوام, ثم الصلاة مع سلام شائع على النبي وصحبه والتابعي. الشيخ رحمه الله, he said, ومن أتى بما عليه من عمل, 37, ومن أتى بما عليه من عمل, whoever fulfills the requirements of an action قد استحق ما له على العمل, he deserves of what's due from the action. Whoever fulfills the requirement of an action is deserving of what's due from the action. Meaning, if someone fulfills what is required of action, then he deserves the reward of that. For instance, someone is a believer, he does the action upon sunnah, he does it for the sake of Allah. After that, he doesn't nullify his action, he get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. So he's a Muslim upon tawheed, he prays the salah in the correct way, he prayed for the sake of Allah, he doesn't nullify that salah. After that, he get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for praying that salah in that proper way. ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيه وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيه مشكورا. He will be thanked. Likewise, someone who maintained the ties of kinship, his relative, he provide for them. For the sake of Allah, he get the reward which is promised, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yabsutu lahu fi rizqihi, will enlarge for him his provision, like give you more provision. Wa yunsa'u lahu fi athari, and you'll be given long life or blessings in your time, or you will be mentioned with good after you pass away. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ahabba an yubsata lahu fi rizqih wa yunsa'a lahu fi athari falyasil rahimahu. Whoever likes that his provision is increased and his, some ulama said, his lifespan is increased after being, if he wouldn't do this, he would die upon 6 years old. But since he maintained the ties of kinship, 70 years old, for instance. Or yes, he will die on the 60 years, but that 60 year will be full of barakah and blessings, doing ibadah, worshiping Allah, avoiding sinning. So it's like he lived hundreds of years. Or it means after he passed away, his righteous actions continues because of maintaining the tie of kinship. Some ulama, they say he will be given the strength, the physical strength, قوة في الجسد. Sheikh Ibn Baz, he chooses that it means he will be given long life and his time will be given blessings, baraka, في العمر والتأجيل في الأجل. So if somebody maintains the ties of kinship for the sake of Allah, he provides his relative for the sake of Allah, he gets these things. Because this is, he did the action, he gets the reward. Someone said, I lost my car. Whoever brings my car, I will give him $100. Someone look for the car, he fine. He deserves his $100. Someone say, hire someone. 8 hours, I want to do this job. He did the job. Whatever they agree has to be given. ثَلَاثَةٌ أَنَا خَصْمُهُمْ وَذَكَرَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْهُمْ رَجُلٌ إِسْتَأْجَرَ أَجِيرًا فَاسْتَوْفَى مِنْهُ حَقَّ وَلَمْ يُعْطِي أَجْرًا. So three from the people, Allah will be their opponent. Allah will, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will confront them on the day of judgment. Among them, someone who hired someone. He did the job done, but he didn't give him his reward. He fixed this car for me, fixed this wall for me. He did it. Whole month struggling. After that, yes, I want to pay the bills. He is not giving him. So, the qa'ida is, وَمَنْ أَتَى بِمَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ عَمَلٍ. Whoever fulfills the requirement of an action, what's upon him of action, he does it. قَدْ اسْتَحَقَّ مَا لَهُ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ. He deserves what belongs to him because of the action he did. طيب. Then the Sheikh said, there is a lot of abiyat we try to, if we are able to finish inshallah tonight. The Sheikh said, وَيَفْعَلُ الْبَعْضَ مِنَ الْمَأْمُورِ إِنْ شَقَّ فِعْلُ سَائِرِ الْمَأْمُورِ وَيَفْعَلُ الْبَعْضَ مِنَ الْمَأْمُورِ. A part of an obligation is fulfilled if there is difficulty in fulfilling the entirety of the obligation. الميسور لا يسقط بالمعسور ويفعل بعض من المأمور. A part of an obligation is fulfilled. He does a part of what's required. When? If he cannot do all of it. Yes, he is commanded to pray Isha, standing, make a ruku', make a sujood. He is not able to stand. He is able to sit. He does what he is able. Tayyib. What is commanded, the ulama say, is three times. One is ma'murun bidatihi. It's commanded because it's intended by itself. Pray salah, hada maqsood. You have to pray salah in the masjid. Okay. You also commanded to go to the masjid. This is the means. Message is next to you. You hear the adhan, a male, healthy, free, you have to attend. Jum'ah prayer, you have to attend. A resident. So what is the prayer in the masjid is the point. And going to the masjid is the means. If you are able to pray salah in the masjid, but not in the complete way, not making ruku', not standing, you do it what you can do it, because praying is the point. But going to the masjid was a means. You are commanded to go to the masjid, it's order. But if the maqsood, if praying salah in the masjid is not, يعني, you can't pray salah in the masjid, you are not allowed, for instance. Or by the time you reach the masjid, they close the masjid. You know it. You hear the adhan, but these people, they maybe you're far, or have a sick person. Al-Muhim, someone who is able to go to the masjid, but it takes time to go there. By the time he is in the masjid already closed, salah already finished. Now, this command, which is to go to the masjid, will not be there, because it was not the point. It was a means. Or somebody who eat the garlic is not allowed to pray in the masjid, is smearing his mouth. Some people, they may even vomit if somebody pray next to them in that state. He's not allowed. He will not be said, go walk all the way to the masjid and come back from the gate of the masjid and pray in the house. La. Because going to the masjid was means. So the means, if the maqsood, the point is not there, you leave the command of the means. But as for the point, you have to do it. If not, do whatever you can do from it. Taib. Somebody is in an airplane, you can't stand. If you wait until the airplane lands, the salah time will finish. Now it's Asr time. By the time the airplane lands, it's already Maghrib time. What should he do? And he cannot pray standing. He must pray. He does what he can do it. This is what the qa'idah is about. وَيَفْعَلُ الْبَعْضَ مِنَ الْمَأْمُورِ. A part of obligation is fulfilled if there is a difficulty in fulfilling the entirety of the obligation. So what is maqsood, what is intended to do it of an action, you do it, all of it. You are not able, do what you can do it. Like you have a water to make wudu, but it's not enough for washing all the limbs of the wudu. You can only wash the face and the hands. It's not enough for the matter for the feet. For instance, what should you do? You wash what you can wash it. You wash the face, you wash the hand, water finish. What should you do for the rest? You make tayammum for it. You make tayammum for it. Some of them say, no, since the water is not enough for all the body, just make tayammum for it. But for those who say no, the making wudu is a mandatory. You have a part of the water. Use that part of the water. Because to make wudu is a point. And the rest, make tayammum for it. So the qa'idah applies to those who see that. Then the sheikh said, وَكُلَّمَا نَشَى عَنِ الْمَأْذُونِ فَذَاكَ أَمْرُ لَيْسَ بِالْمَضْمُونِ. Anything which emanates from an allowance, such a matter for it, there is no liability. وَكُلَّمَا نَشَى عَنِ الْمَأْذُونِ فَذَاكَ أَمْرُ لَيْسَ بِالْمَضْمُونِ. Means what you are allowed to do it, while you are doing what you were allowed, the thing is finished. Somebody tell you, eat this food. By eating the food, you finish it. You are not liable for that. Somebody rent a house to you. You use it the way you should use it. You just sleep it. You put your stuff normal way. Then the house get ill because you've been there years. Nothing is on you. He rent a car to you to the downtown. And then the car on your way, there's extra mileage to the downtown. Nothing is on you because you did what you were allowed. So what happened? Because you did what you've been allowed, you are not liable for it. But how about, he tell you, okay, take the car to the downtown, But when you reach the downtown, you say, let me go to another 20 mile, extra mile. Now the extra mileage, anything, car have accident after that, you're responsible. But the car have accident on your way to the downtown. You, no negligence from you. You are not responsible. Whether you rented the car, or whether the person give you the car to use it, you know, because you were doing what you were allowed. And you use the way you were allowed to use it. But if you make, يعني, you go over the limit, then you're responsible. A doctor, he specializes and he's honest. He makes surgery. He tries his best. And then mistake happened from him. And instead of cutting a vein, he mistakenly cut another one. The person passed away. Nothing is on him. Nothing is on him. But how about if he make negligence? He didn't take serious. While he talking to the people, he making surgery of one's brain. Something happened. He's liable for it. So he was allowed to make a surgery. He has signatures. You're the willy, or you the one who want a surgery. Yes. If something happened, that I am not liable. Yes, you're not liable. As long as you are not making negligence. He didn't make negligence. Something happened. Nothing is on him. Because he was doing what he was allowed. Somebody passing in front of someone praying. He's trying to stab him. He's not stabbing. He tried to stab him. Between him and his sutra, he's not. Then he throw him. That's the only way he can stab him. When he threw him, he fell down. And he lost his teeth. Nothing is on him. Because he did what he was allowed. He did what he was allowed. Somebody attacking to his house. And he want to kill him. He has a gun, he want to kill him. He has no way to stab him but to defend himself. He's allowed to defend himself. While he's defending himself, what happened? He's not liable for it. So the qaida is whatever comes out of what was allowed, then the person who does that is not liable for whatever comes. Anything which emanates from an allowance, such a matter for it, there is no liability. There's no liability. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah, he said, وَكُلُّ حُكْمٍ دَائِرٌ مَعْ عِلَّتِهِ وَهِيَ الَّتِي قَدْ أَوْجَبَتْ لِشِرْعَتِهِ. Every ruling revolves around its cause, which is the very reason for its legislation. So the قاعدة الحكم يدور مع علته وجودا وعدما. Every ruling revolves around its cause. The ruling goes with the cause. Something in the deen of Allah, Allah subhanahu legislates for a reason. Allah forbade alcohol, drinking wine, because of intoxication. Wherever there is intoxication, is forbidden. Allah forbade gambling and drinking alcohol because it prevents from salah. Whatever prevents from salah is not allowed. لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجز من عمل الشيطان. إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويسدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فعل أنتم منتهون. Alcohol and gambling, wine and gambling was forbade. One of the wisdom is it makes hatred and enmity between the Muslims. Whatever leads hatred between the Muslims is not allowed. A man said to his wife, he said to somebody, Wallahi, I'm not talking to this innovator. Thinking he's innovator. And then he found out he was not innovator. He can't talk to him and he doesn't have to do any expiation. Because the reason he swear by Allah he will not talk to him is not there. A man left his wife and his mother having a problem. Arguments. And women, when they live together, many times it happens. Anyway, when he come back, he see his wife on the top of his mother. Right there, he divorce her. When he get close, he find actually his mother is sick. She had a heart attack. And his wife was trying to bring her back. Is the divorce take place? No, it didn't take place. Because he made the talqa for a reason. The reason is not there. He said, wallahi, I'm not talking to that rebellious, disobedient person. The person, he repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah, now he's a big sheikh. Will he talk to him? Yes. And he doesn't make any expiation. So the reason this was legislated, the ruling was made, if it goes away, it disappears, the ruling follows, it disappears. Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, as this qa'ida applies in the sharia, also it applies in the natural, the people's yani, way of life. Meaning a man marry a lady because she is beautiful, mashallah, she is righteous, alhamdulillah, she has a lot of money on the account. He married based on that. When he married her, first night, he find out nothing of that is there. Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, the love this man had for this woman is not there automatically. It's going to go down. Even if it doesn't go all of it, the love he had will not be there. Because that love was based on this quality. He find out she doesn't have it. The rule changes. The sharia, the same thing. So the rule goes with the illa. Jihad was legislated. لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ الْعُلْيَا, the word of Allah to be high. Muslims to spread, to worship Allah upon freedom, the tawheed. But making it what happened is Muslim being destroyed, shirk taking place, tawheed disappearing is not allowed. Because الْحُكْمِ يَدُورُ مَعْ إِلَّتِهِ, the rule revolves around its cause. وُجُودًا وَعَدَمًا. Then the sheikh said, وَكُلُّ شَرْطٍ لَازِمٍ لِلْعَاقِدِ فِي الْبَيْعِ وَالنِّكَاحِ وَالْمَقَاصِدِ إِلَّا شُرُوطًا حَلَّلَتْ مُحَرَّمًا أَوْ عَكْسَهُ فَبَاطِلَاتٌ فَعْلَمًا. Every condition is binding upon the contractor in transactions and marriage and intended objectives, except conditions which permit a prohibition or it is opposite. They are invalid, you should know it. The Sheikh says, وَكُلُّ شَرْطٍ لَازِمٌ لِلْعَاقِدِ, every condition is binding upon the contractor in transactions, in marriage, in intended objectives. Yani every condition that two people make, whether husband and a wife, they want to marry, whether it is about transactions, selling, where is it, or any other renting, business partnership, any condition that they have, matter is binding, has to be fulfilled, except شروط حللت محرم, except a condition which permit a prohibition, something haram and lawful, this condition make it permissible. Something lawful in the religion, this condition makes matter unlawful. This condition is invalid. Here the Sheikh talks about ما يسميه العلم شروط جعلية. There is conditions شرعية, transactions, contracts has two conditions. Conditions شرعية, the Sharia is the one who set those conditions. It's in Quran and Sunnah. And their conditions, ja'aliyah, is made by the contractors themselves. For instance, you want to buy something, a car from somebody. There is conditions in the Sharia, shurutun lil bay', condition from the Sharia. From that, what you're buying, what you're selling, you have to own it. Or you are wakil, you are representative. Otherwise, you cannot sell it. What you're selling must be lawful, something lawful to sell it. What you're selling must be benefiting. in the Sharia. What you sell, it must be known. You cannot sell something unknown. Akhi, in this book, there's money in it. Buy it from me. La. Has to be known how much money is there. Or there is this box is full of, mashallah, a lot of useful books. What books, akhi, is useful books? I'm telling you. It's not allowed. Has to be known. الثمن والمبيع. The product and the money. The product is here. This is in front of you. This is what I'm selling. This qamis, this hijab, all this. Okay, that's clear. How much money are you paying me to take over my product? Don't worry about it. We will understand one another. It will not be accepted. It's between $1,000 to $20,000. It's not accepted. Because it has to be clear. This condition from the Sharia. Okay. From that, when you sell this product, it belongs to the one you sell to. مقتضى العقد. This condition is from the Sharia, from the legislation. There are conditions from the people. Okay, you want to sell this to me? For instance, a woman, she wants to marry a man. She said, with the condition, you don't remove me from my environment. I like this environment, mashallah. It's too mountain, big mountain here. I like people around me. My uncle, my aunt, everybody there. I want to see them every day, mashallah. Don't take me even to Mecca and Medina. He accepted. He's binding. He has to fulfill it because that's what he accepted for her own interest. Okay, she said, condition, don't marry another woman. Second wife, you break my head. I can't sleep. He accepted, he has to fulfill it. Because this condition comes from the contractor, one of them, for an interest. And it doesn't make haram unlawful what Allah made lawful. But he married second wife. She said, you want to marry me? Yes. You have to divorce the first one. Now it's not allowed. Because now something lawful, halal, this man, they married, first wife, and she now preventing that. So the ulama, they say there's difference between making unlawful and making someone stay away from something which was lawful. When the woman says, don't marry second wife on me, she is not making haram a second wife. But she is preventing the man to marry second wife. Him to marry second wife is not mandatory on him. He may remain with one wife the rest of his life. He's not sinful. So she's just stabbing him. So the condition from the people, from the contractors, it's allowed as long it doesn't make what Allah make lawful, unlawful, what Allah make unlawful, lawful. If it does that, then these conditions are not valid. Then the Sheikh said, تستعمل القرعة عند المبهم من الحقوق أو لدى التزاحم. Lots are drawn in cases of ambiguity, in rights, or means in conflict due to overcrowding. Lots are drawn in case of lots means, what do you call, hair and tail, or al-qur'a, what do you call in English, lots? Hair and tail, what do you call it? Lots, okay. This is not lottery, this is lots. Okay. It is used in the Sharia in two situations. In the Mubhami, when there is situation of ambiguity, is not known of rights, or when there is overcrowded. What it means? A man has two wives. He want to travel. He cannot take both of them. He's taking one of them. Both of them have right to go with him. And both of them wanted to go with him. He cannot just grab one of them. Because you're going to oppress the other one. For what reason you take this with you and you left the other? Both they want you, both they're your wives. Now there's Qur'ah. Qur'ah is being made, whichever wins, she go with him. Now is the right, they both have rights. The Saf al-Awwal, first row, two Muslims, they come the first row on the same time, and there's one spot empty. Each one wants this. And no one is leaving his right. What should be done? Qur'ah, istahamu. That is being made, whoever wins, he goes to the first row. Because they share this right is for them both, and it cannot suffice them both. One has to take it. That is when they share the rights. A man, he left, he made wasiya will, after he passed away, so and so is for those two, is for Ali and Ahmed. What he said is for Ali and Ahmed can no way be divided. Can't be divided. Only for one, Qur'ah is being made. That's when those who deserve the right is known, but it cannot suffice all of them. One has to take it. Conflict of interest, one has to give up. How to give up? Through that way. Another situation, actually, they have the right. One of them has the right, but it's not known. A man said, after he passed away, $20,000 should be given his friend of Zayd. And actually has three Zayd friends. He said his friend. Or he named the Zayd. He said Zayd so and so. He mentioned his father's name, but it's not known now. Only what's being remembered is Zayd. And he has three Zayd. Qur'ah will be made. Hair and tail will be made. Whoever will take it. And the Mubam is ambiguous. It's not known. So the Sheikh says, تستعمل القرعة عند المبهم. Lots are drawn in case of ambiguity. In case it is not known who this right belongs to. It belongs to one of them. Then قرعة will be made whoever gets. Or they have right, all of them, but it can all of them cannot get it. People, like what happened to Prophet Yunus. Their boat overcrowded. Someone has to be thrown to the ocean. What they did? فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَدِينَ Qur'ah was made three times. It go after him. Go after him. He throw himself. Because all they have right to be on the boat. And they can't be all of them. One has to lose that right. How to make it lose? Through Qur'ah. Is that clear? Okay. Next, the Sheikh said, وَإِن تَسَاوَى الْعَمَلَانِ اجْتَمَعَا وَفُعِلَ أَحْدُهُمَا فَاسْتَمِعَا Two actions of similar means legislation coincide at the same time. Either one can be performed. So listen attentively. وَإِن تَسَاوَى الْعَمَلَانِ If two actions are similar, اجْتَمَعَا They get together. They become one. Okay. You do one of the two actions. It's two actions, they are the same. The point of legislating this action can be achieved by doing the other one. Likewise, the opposite. Doing one of it is sufficient. With good intention, you get the reward of both. For instance, you enter the masjid before Fajr, two rak'ah of Fajr. But iqama was be made after two rak'ah. And you have tahiyyatul masjid. Okay? You can pray tahiyyatul masjid. You can pray two rak'ah of sunnah. Okay? But praying the two rak'ah of the fajr with the intention of tahiyyatul masjid is like you pray four rak'ah. But if you don't make the intention of tahiyyatul masjid, still tahiyyatul masjid is not required. Because the point of tahiyyatul masjid was not to sit down in the masjid without praying. You actually pray it. But if you intend tahiyyatul masjid, you didn't pray two rak'ah before fajr. If you intend tahiyyatul masjid, you didn't pray two rak'ah before fajr. You need to pray those two rak'ah. But if you intend two rak'ah before fajr, with the intention, tahiyyatul masjid, you pray two rak'ah and you get the reward. And if you pray only tahiyyatul masjid, two rak'ah before fajr, you don't have to pray tahiyyatul masjid after that. Because the reason was, which was legislated, go under praying two rak'ah of fajr. Or Jum'ah, the taking shower, ghusl for Jum'ah, based on the majority of scholars, they say it's not a mandatory. They say Jum'ah ghusl was legislated for nadafa, cleanliness. Okay. Based on that opinion, of course, someone say it's a mandatory. And somebody has ghusl, the big ghusl of janaba. If he taken the big ghusl of janaba and he intend also Jum'ah ghusl, he did both. He did both. Because the reason of legislating the Jum'ah ghusl was cleanliness. And if he make ghusl of janaba, he actually make the cleanliness. He clean himself. So it goes under. Somebody, day of Arafah is Monday. He intend the day of Arafah and fasting Monday. He get two reward. Because he fast that day. If he make two intention, he get the two reward. If he make one intention, he only get that one. This is the difference. So, وَإِن تَسَاوَى الْعَمَلَانِ, the two actions are similar. Salah, salah. And they have the same, the point, the wisdom behind legislating this can be achieved by doing the other one. Now, one action is enough for both. Unlike someone who missed Dhuhr prayer, Asr come, he entered Asr prayer with the intention also Dhuhr prayer. Is that accepted? La. Because the point of Dhuhr, praying Dhuhr is different than the point of praying Asr. Two different reasons. Somebody he missed from Ramadan 6 days. He want to fast 6 days of Shawwal with the intention of also making up Ramadan. It's not going to work. Because 6 days of Shawwal is legislated after performing the mandatory making up, praying a fast in Ramadan. Also another reason, the mandatory has the whole time. The point of the 6 days of Shawwal cannot be achieved without fasting Ramadan. Ramadan is for 10 months, 10 hasanat. The 6 days of Shawwal is for 2 months. So if you make up the days you miss from Ramadan, still you're covering the 10-month reward. Still the two months is left. So it can't be 6 days of Shawwal cannot go under making up Ramadan because the reason is different. Even though it's fasting, the reason which was legislated is different. The Sheikh said, وَكُلُّ مَشْغُولٍ فَلَا يُشَغَّلُ مِثَالُهُ الْمَرْهُونُ وَالْمُسَبَّلُ. Every person or everything, either way, a person or something, engaged, means with a contract, cannot be engaged. Cannot be engaged, father. An example of it is a pawner item, an endowment, al waqf. The Sheikh is saying someone or something which is busy with something cannot be made busy with another thing. Somebody hire you to work for him 3 hours. You cannot work for someone else for those 3 hours because you're busy with something. Somebody give waqf fi sabilillah for mushaf to the masjid. That mushaf cannot be used for another purpose. Mashghul is busy with what was. Somebody put a deposit, he buys something, he make a pawn, he put his watch, or he put something, his car. He buy a house, he brought his car until he bring in the whole money. What do you call it? Yes, deposit. He cannot go to another one and buy something from him and use the same car because the car is busy with something. He cannot use for another thing. Collateral. He cannot use for different two things from different people. If the first one accepted, that's different. But he can. Mithalu al-marhun, well, every person engaged or everything engaged with a means with a contract cannot be engaged or another thing. Father. An example of is a pawned item and also an endowment, the waqf. Something was made waqf, you should be busy with for that waqf. Then the Sheikh said, وَمَنْ يُؤَدِّ عَنْ أَخِيهِ وَأَجِّبًا لَهُ الرُّجُوعُ إِنَّوَا يُطَالِبًا. Whoever fulfills an obligation on behalf of his brother, for him is a return if he intended to request it. Someone he fulfill on behalf of somebody what was mandatory on that one with the intention to get it from him. For instance, somebody travel. His wife went to one of the stores. She said her husband is not there. They don't have a food. They cannot pay the rent. How much the rent? $1,000. How much the food? $1,500. Here it is. With the intention, if that guy comes, he take from him. He come back, he must give to him. Because this is something mandatory on him to provide his wife, to pay the rent, right or wrong. And he didn't do that. Someone did on behalf of him with the intention to get it from him, he must give it back. He cannot say, no, I didn't ask you to do that for me. No, that is something you are required. No argument on that. It's on you. And I intended to get it back from you. But if he doesn't intend that, he does that fi sabilillah, he cannot change his mind, say, I want to get the money. That's what he is. So anyone who does something on behalf of his brother, but that has to be something mandatory on him, obligation, not something he can voluntarily. An obligation with the intention to return to him, then he has that right. If they go to the court, he say, I don't talk to him, I don't even know him. The judge will say, okay, you were supposed to provide your wife, pay the bills. You didn't do that, right? He did it on behalf of you to get it back from you, to get it from you. You must give it right now. Then the Sheikh said, والوازع الطبيعي عن الإسيان كالوازع الشرعي بلا نكران. Actually, this need more explanation, but we summarize. The Sheikh said, a natural deterrent from a sin is like a religious deterrent without any denial. The ulama, they say there is three mada wazi, three things which stop someone, prevent someone doing the wrong thing. Three things. One is the religion. Because you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you stay away from haram. Second thing is Another deterrent is natural things which Allah created in the human. There are a lot of things the human, they don't do that. The religion doesn't say no, but they feel within them they shouldn't do that. Like drinking impurity, drinking urinate. No human drinking urinate. Why not? Because natural deterrent is there. Someone slap his mother. Natural deterrent is there. Even disbelievers, unless those corrupted ones, they don't do that. Someone in his sound mind, he doesn't hit his mother. He doesn't hit his father. Why? There's natural deterrent there. Okay. Or curse or this. So that's one deterrent. The other one is al-wazi' sultani, leadership deterrent. Leadership, authority. So these three things prevent someone, stop someone doing haram. One, because he fear Allah, the religion, forbade this. He stay away from it. He doesn't fear a government. There's no natural deterrent. Actually, he has a desire for it. He has desire. It's different than a man smoking or listening to the music, drinking alcohol, making zina. This is, there is no natural deterrent. Rather, the soul calls him to do that. Unlike drinking urinate, unlike eating something, okay, or a poison, something he knows is a poison. He doesn't want. No religion says no, but he. The other thing is their leadership, government. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْزِعُ بِسُلْطَانِ مَا لَا يَنْزِعُ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Means people will leave something because of the leader, because of fear of the government, more than they do that thing because of the religion. Because of the religion. Which one is the strongest in those three? Someone to leave something for the sake of Allah, to leave something because of a natural deterrent, and to leave something because of he feared the government. Which one? The government. This is the majority of the people. Fear of Allah, few people. وَقَلِيلٌ مَّاهُمْ. Natural deterrent, it can be corrupted by the environment. But the authority is stronger. Therefore, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the leadership deterrence or authority deterrence is more stronger than religion, the Quran deterrent. Subhanallah, Sheikh Sulaiman, he mentioned when he was explaining here, he was in one of the countries and there was chaos overthrowing the leadership. He said within very short time, the whole country, whole area, he was get burned. The brothers, he was there for seminar. The sheikh, he was in a hotel, 5-star. Sheikh, only the hotel remained here. And now they're on their way, gangs, destroying everything. So we have to run. And the sheikh, they took him to a countryside where there's, life is very basic, no light. Why? The country is gone. Why? Because there is no system there. Now you see some countries with the government, when there is demonstrations and they start burning, how fast they destroy buildings, how fast people are killed, because there is no system there. So you see when your people are spearing and somehow you find them all, they took cool down. Why? Because there is police there. So the sheikh here, he says, the natural deterrence from a sin is like a religious deterrent. So what naturally you stay away from it is haram, as what's haram in the Sharia. It's haram. To drink urinate is haram. Even though there's no text on there, the ulama, they say. But it's haram because this natural deterrent takes the same rule of natural Sharia. Then the sheikh, he prays Allah al-Karim subhanah in everything, and he sent salah and salam to the Prophet. He said, Walhamdulillah ala tamami, في البدء والختام والدوام. All praise is for Allah upon completion. It is in the poem, in the beginning, ending, and throughout. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised subhanahu for the Shaykh, enabling the Shaykh, starting the poem, completing it, continuing doing it, and everything. ثم الصلاة مع السلام الشائع على النبي وصحبه والتابعين. After thereafter, salutations along with peace in abundance upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions and his followers. The Shaykh, he ended the poem with what he started with of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salah and salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. هذا والله أعلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك.